Ago that I was able to go on a mission trip to Tanzania, Africa. And since we were already in the area, some of us took the opportunity to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, the summit of which stands at 19,341 feet. Now that's really up there, but to put it in perspective, you know, Mount Everest is about 2 miles higher than that. And I have a good friend who was there, a missionary in Tanzania for about 17 years, who never climbed Kilimanjaro. And I said, Scott, why wouldn't you want to climb it while you're here? And he said, Brian, that's real easy. Why would I ever want to climb a mountain that starts with Kilimanjaro? And I said, well, you kind of got a point there. Well, the route we took, it took 5 days to be able to get to the summit, 3.5 days up and 1.5 days back down. And it began in a tropical rainforest, as you can see there, but it ended up at the top with some glaciers. It was actually glaciers at the top. And I just want to share with you, I was excited because I had the pleasure of climbing it with 12 of my very closest friends. Actually, they were just acquaintances. They weren't really that great of friends. But it was amazing how that shared experience bonded us together in community. To the point that by the end of the trip, and this is going to sound strange, and it sounds even to me as I say it, by the end of the trip, we were literally exchanging chapstick with each other. Hey, you need some? I got some. We were drinking water out of each other's water bottles because we wanted to do anything we could do to encourage and help everyone be able to finish. We just tried to help each other make it since it was an extremely challenging endeavor. And there's a lot of people that never make it to the summit simply because they give up. Now, the reason I'm sharing that experience with you is because that's what I believe is honestly the secret sauce of every Christian's pilgrimage, their journey. And it's actually demonstrated in the experience of the early church that we read about in the book of Acts. And when we start the book of Acts, we discover there were about only 120 believers who remained faithful to Christ. That was until the day of Pentecost, when that number all of a sudden swelled to 3,000. And that's when that comfortable little congregation of 120 Christ followers instantly became kind of a big crowd, a large crowd. And that really became the largest gathering of Christ followers anywhere in the world. And they knew they'd been given the mandate from Christ to expand that faith community into a worldwide movement. And I guess it worked well enough that here we are today, some 2,000 years later. I want to welcome you to Academy Christian Church, especially if you're new here today. We're so glad that you're with us, as long as with everybody else. And we want to welcome those that are joining us online every week. We have a number of people to do. And then give a shout out over to our West Side campus over in Old Colorado City. Well, as John already mentioned, the school year is kicking off. Teachers everywhere are reviewing the basics with their students. And so I thought it would be a great time as Christ followers for us to review some of the basics as well. And if you're not yet a Christ follower, I'm glad you can listen in. Just learn how Christ followers are able to navigate this life. Because I think for most of us here today, there's just a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of details to take care of. Sometimes it feels like information overload. And what can happen if we're not careful is that the basics can kind of slip off of our radar, which is dangerous because the basics really are foundational for life. And so we're reviewing five basics of our Christian walk. And we started the first week with the Bible. And the Bible is so important because it's one of the best ways that you and I can hear from God, but not if we don't spend any time reading it. And so remember, I challenge you to a minimum of at least 4 days a week for 15 minutes a day. Now, that's just an hour in a week, but that hour could actually transform your life. We've learned that. Last week, we took a look at prayer, and prayer is one of the best ways that we actually communicate with God. And the challenge here was just to say to you, just try to start and end your day having at least some kind of conversation with your Heavenly Father and see what happens from there. Today, we're going to talk about community, the basic of community, and then we'll wrap it up the next 2 weeks talking about the church and then worship. Well, those 3,000 at Pentecost literally were just a crowd. And so a good question for us today would be, how do you turn a crowd into a congregation? Because a congregation is what we call a faith community. And fortunately, we're told how that crowd of 3,000 became a community of faith and has literally changed the world. And here's the secret sauce. We find it in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. It says, all those believers were together, and they had everything in common. And so we're told that this new community of faith immediately devoted themselves, first of all, to the apostles' teaching, because they didn't have the Bible yet, and that would be our equivalent of that, to breaking bread, so they met together weekly for communion, to prayer, because that was important, but also they committed themselves to community. And things got pretty personal. I mean, to the point that they knew each other well enough, they literally would sell their property and their possessions and give it to anyone who had need. And that was something that the world at that time, they had never seen, which caused so many people to want to join this very special community that we're told that literally people were coming to Christ every day. And that's why I think Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I mean, he nails it on the head when he says, you know, your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God when they take a look at us. And so this morning, what I want to do is try to answer three questions concerning community. And the first one would be, why is community, why is that a basic? And the answer really is pretty simple. It's basic because the need for community is hardwired into our design as human beings. And that's literally, I think, because the God who created us, he also lives in community. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in that divine moment when he created everything in creation, you'll notice that he creates multiples of every other kind of species except for one. What was that? Humans. Remember? He created us, and then he said, let us make mankind in our image. But at that time, he only created one person. Do you remember his name? I bet you do. It was Adam. Adam. Now, it's interesting, when God created Adam, and he was there alone, in Genesis 2:18, God actually takes a look at that, and you remember what he said? Hey, it's not good for that man to be alone. And I really don't believe God said that just as if he was discovering it all of a sudden. Oh, no, I just made one man. I think he actually said it for our benefit. I really believe he wanted to make sure that we knew that living in community is something that we were made for. I mean, people need people. And that is when he created a woman so that the two of them could procreate and make more and more and more and more people. See, God designed human beings to be interdependent, not codependent, because that's unhealthy, not independent, because that doesn't help us at all, but to be interdependent. Now, when I say that, do you know who else also understands that? Our enemy. I mean, Satan. And so guess what? If it's not good for you and I to be alone, that's exactly the end towards which the enemy of our soul will work in order to isolate us and separate us from each other. And sadly, his plan, what he's doing, is actually working pretty well. Some recent surveys found that about 6 out of 10, over half of the people in the United States right now, report feeling lonely on a fairly regular basis. with more and more expressing they lack companionship and that they're feeling left out and all alone. See, that's not good. Because people who live relationally in community with others, do you realize they actually are healthier in every aspect of their life? They're healthy physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And they are stronger. They're more resilient. They're less susceptible to disease and depression and discouragement. And folks, that's one of the reasons why Sunday mornings like this, they are so important, because we get a sense of community in our worship gatherings. We get the sense that we're part of something that's greater than ourselves. But you know, in a church our size, which is over 1,000, in order to get larger, really we're going to have to actually get smaller, because it's vital for every person to be involved in a connect group. Now, let me just say, no matter how large a church gets, whether it's 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, you got to know the average person in the church is only going to know about 50 people. That's just the way it works. But the reason it feels so different in a smaller church simply has to do with facial recognition. Because in a church of 200 or less, you can have facial recognition of a majority of those people, even though you don't know them, but you recognize their face. But that's the problem in a church like ours of more than 1,000. Literally, there are hundreds of people that you aren't going to probably recognize. And so that even messes me up. Because, you know, at some of our membership classes, I often meet people who've attended our church for maybe several months or more, and I don't think I've ever seen them ever before. But that's just because our paths haven't crossed. And honestly, I'm kind of bummed about that as a pastor. But I've had to make peace with the fact that I don't have to know everybody, and I can't. But just hint, hint. That's why I'm also grateful for people who come up, and when they do, they remind me of their names, because I'm trying to get everybody's names, but my hard drive is getting a little bit full, and I'm just fully aware that everybody needs to know somebody. And the reason that God designed us with the need to live in community, in relationship with others, it's because it's only in community where you can actually know someone and be known. Where you are more likely to be able to love someone and be loved. Where you can serve someone and be served. And then where you can celebrate your life and be celebrated. All of which will bring incredible blessing to your life. See, I just know for the most part, it's people that you actually know who are going to show up for you when you need them most. Because it's just easier. It's easier to care about people that you know well. And so I've seen it over and over again. I've witnessed this when members of our church, when they go through a hard time, an illness, or maybe they lose a loved one, and it's their connect group that comes alongside them and helps them through the process and is even there for them at that time and then continuing to walk with them. Well, the second question I would ask is if community is something we truly need, then folks, why can community be so wonky? And I don't know a better word than wonky, for one, I just like the word, but it's wonky. And wonky means not as smoothly or as great as we might think it should be. And so, for example, this morning, do you know what the very best thing about the church is? Honestly, it's the people. The very best thing about the church is the people. But you know, honestly, what the worst thing about the church is? It's the same. It's the people. And you know, that's the challenge. That's why I'd say wonky. Because you know, the church ought to be the most wonderful place to be and be a part of. But as we all know, that's not how it always plays out. I mean, far too many people have walked away from the church community disillusioned and disappointed and discouraged. And let's kind of get this out on the table. One of the reasons community can get wonky is just simply because, folks, everybody's odd but God. It's wonky because we're a little bit quirky. We really are. In fact, let's just get it out on the table. Turn to the person next to you and just say to them, do you know you're a little quirky? Let's go ahead, say it. Say it to them. Get that out there. Whew. Oh, nice. Now we can live with that. But when we say quirky, what that means is that we're just all different from each other. We're different in our likes and our dislikes. We're different in the things that we prefer and the things that we would rather avoid. And it's always going to be easier to love the people who are most like you. And so often I think what we need to do is to try to let God be as creative with others as he's been with us. Because, you know, when God made you, he created you, and then he threw away the mold. And when he made me, he created me, and then he threw away the mold. Thank goodness for that one. But folks, the real test of Christianity is never loving Jesus. Jesus is easy to love. It's loving his people that is more of a challenge. And shouldn't we be able to acknowledge, I mean, if Jesus already expects us to love our enemies, it should be obvious that we're also going to have to love our fellow believers. Because there is no version of following Jesus that is all about you or all about me. It's about each other. I think another one of the reasons why community can be wonky is because that every one of us struggles with a sinful nature. It's that part of us that doesn't do what we'd like. And so you don't need to raise your hand. But how many of you have ever said something you wish you'd never said? Yeah. Or done something you wish you'd never done. And all too often, that's our old self that we're supposed to be putting off. I mean, that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to get across to the Ephesians when he wrote to them in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. And he said, hey, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is it's corrupted by those deceitful desires. And I think Henry Nouwen, he catches what it's going to be like. Community is a place where the person you least want to live with always lives. And it's because of that sinful nature. And finally, I think community can be wonky simply because community is going to require time and intentionality. And time is one of our greatest commodities. And see, I think a lot of people think that what they're looking for is a friendly church. If I could just find a friendly church. When you know what they're really looking for is a church where they could actually find some friends. But you know that you're never going to become friends with people that you don't spend any time with. They're not going to become your friends. And so why did community catch on so powerfully in that book of Acts? Well, it says in Acts 2, verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They ate together, broke bread in their homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, folks, all of that to say, the passage that I really want us to focus on for the remainder of our time is found in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, in case you want to turn there or get that on your device. And the best guess that we have is that the book of Hebrews was written somewhere in the late 50s to the early 60s AD. And what that means is that it would have been around possibly 25 to 30 years after Jesus. And so just a few decades after the church started, and then we're going to hear where things went. So let's go ahead and take a look. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some were already in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, it's difficult, next to impossible, to develop any community effectively without engaging in and getting connected with a local congregation and a connect group. And that's what those two verses are really saying in answer to the final question that I want to ask today, is that would be, why is community, why is it so important for Christ followers? And the writer of Hebrews tells us three things, the first of which he's saying, we need community because there's going to be times when you could use a kick in the pants. Now, I feel kind of bad saying that, but I asked my wife if that would pass, because there were some other ways I could say it that she said probably wouldn't be as good. But isn't it true there are going to be times when we need someone who will tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear? Now, fortunately, the Apostle Paul actually reveals the tenor of what those conversations should look like. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, he says, instead, speaking the truth in what? In what?
Love.
In love. So that ought to always be the approach. Now, with that thought in mind, I think we should really get a kick out of what it says literally. It says, consider how we may spur one another on. Have any of you ever ridden a horse? Now, the Greek word here, othesi, refers to stimulation resulting in increased activity. Hence, it's often translated spur as in the activity used to motivate and get a horse moving. Now, the New Living Translation is a little kinder because the New Living Translation says, let us think of ways to motivate one another. But there will always be times when we need a little extra motivation, a kick in the pants, so to speak. Now, why do we all need a kick in the pants sometimes? I think because there are things that we know we need to do, that we just aren't doing or that we aren't motivated to do. And I got to tell you, when I get to heaven, I have a lot of things to do. But one of the guys I want to look up when we get to heaven is a guy named Archippus. And I think we only hear about him one time in the Bible. But what's so interesting to me is the Apostle Paul literally calls him out. And people read about him, you know, every time they read through the book of Colossians. Because Paul says, tell Archippus, this is a kick in the pants, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received in the Lord. He needed some motivation. I think we also need a kick in the pants because sometimes we all have blind spots, things that are not in our line of sight for whatever reason. And fortunately in my life, I have my wife, Diane, and then I have other staff, and then I have leaders who sometimes will say to me, hey, Brian, did you think about that? And I said, no, but I do now, and I need to now. And I think that's what the Bible was talking about in Proverbs chapter 27, where it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I think another reason why community is so important for Christ's followers is because self-sufficiency literally is a tool of the devil. And he uses self-sufficiency to get us to believe that we don't need anybody else. We can go it alone. And so please notice that checking out on the community or church is actually as old as the church itself. Because just a couple decades later, they're writing, not giving up meeting together, as some were already in the habit of doing. You see, whenever Satan gets us to believe, hey, you can do it on your own, and then we end up isolating ourselves, we're just much easier to take out. I want you to think about what this turtle would do if it was all by itself. See, I think that was the picture that the writer of Ecclesiastes had in mind when he said in Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one. Not only because they have a good return for their labor, but if one of them falls down, the other one can help him up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. And I think finally, we all need community because there will be times when you're going to need a pat on the back. You're going to need someone to come alongside and just encourage you. I bet if we had time to go around the room today, we'd be amazed at the different struggles that people are actually experiencing around us. But you'd never know it just by looking at a person. And so we tend to kind of hide because we wonder what would happen if we really opened up, if we were transparent. But I bet if we did, we'd find more people than we think who would say things like this in church. They'd say, hey, you know what, my name is John, and I'm an alcoholic. My name is Betty, and I have breast cancer. My name is Steve, and my marriage is falling apart. My name is Bill, and I lost my job. My name is Cindy, and I'm lonely. See, one of the big reasons why we need community is because we need to be encouraging one another. And see, encourage equals to give support, self-confidence, and hope to someone. And why do we all need encouragement sometimes? Because let's face it, life is hard. We get weary. We may feel like quitting and giving up. We may need some help getting a different perspective. That's why Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, hey, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I've said it before, but I think following Christ, if we were to bring it into an athletic event, looks much more like a marathon than it does a sprint. And as one author so aptly described the Christian walk, he said, it is a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. And the reality is that no one can make the journey for us. We're going to have to make our own journey. But the reality is they can make the journey with us. And while your faith is personal, it was never intended to be private, faith is mainly a team sport. God designed our Christian walk to function best when it's done in community. Now, I don't know if you've heard before of the Leadville 100. And the Leadville 100 is named so because it is a 100-mile ultra marathon through the heart of the Rocky Mountains on rocky trails and dirt roads up near Leadville, Colorado. And the course climbs and descends over 15,000 vertical feet in that 100 miles, with elevations ranging from about 9,200 feet to maybe 12,620 feet. Did I mention it was for 100 miles? And because the race takes more than 24 hours, most of the runners, for many of them, it's a race that's run best in community. In other words, having others run alongside them as pacers. And one of our members here at ACC is Bob Eaton. He himself, which I can't believe, he's finished four 100-mile races, the Leadville twice. But he's also paced six different runners during 15 100-mile races. And I recently asked him, I said, hey, what do you notice as a pacer? And he shared that the runners that are actually doing the race, they're going to get tired, they're going to get sore, they're going to get discouraged. So he said, when you're pacing, you need to be constantly encouraging them, but, you know, even reminding them, hey, you need to eat and you need to drink. And then he said, you know, the lesson learned for me in our faith community is that people in our faith community are often in pain, they're discouraged or they're disoriented. And we need to be an encourager to the point of helping them find help and hope when the situation seems hopeless. Do you know there's a saying actually in ultra running, and the saying is, it won't get worse forever. It is going to get worse in the near future, but it won't get worse forever. And so sore muscles and queasy stomachs and blisters and other race-related ailments will often improve just with some pretty simple treatments. And he said the lesson learned is, in addition to encouragement, people often need just simple aid, maybe prayer, maybe physical touch, maybe some kind of material assistance to lift them out of the pit that they have found themselves in. See, there are very few runners that will finish the race without the encouragement and support of a pacer. And so I'd want to ask you today, do you have any spiritual pacers in your life? See, God gave us the church to provide a community of faith to walk or run alongside us in our faith journey. And folks, that's why it's one of the first of our three priorities of the church. It's to connect people with Christ and his followers, because both of them are going to be needed on our faith journey. And when those two things come together, actually it's an amazing thing that happens, because in Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus actually said, hey, where two or three of you come together in my name, guess what? There I am with them. So I just want to encourage you to make sure that you're either seeking or that you're in a faith community. Yeah, I'm glad you're in rows, but community usually happens best in circles. Because I think there's a really good chance for all of you that the peeps that you're looking for are around here somewhere. You just need to locate them if you haven't already. And that's why today, in many of the chairs in front of you, there's our Connect booklet. And now's a great time. We're getting into the fall. We're launching a lot of life groups and adult Bible fellowships. And we've actually written a different format. So you're welcome to take one of these with you and say, you know what, I need to find a place. You might have to do a little trial and error. But if you need some help, on the very back is an email address for Dave Erickson, our teaching pastor. He would love to engage in helping you do that. And so you're welcome to contact him. But let's make sure, folks, if we want to be in it for the long haul, we're in community. Let's pray. God, thank you for providing us some help along the way. Because life is long and it can get hard. But it's never as hard when there are people around us who love us and who can be there with us and for us. And I pray for everybody in this room. I know there's probably some lonely people here who could use just a pat on the back. And so I pray that you'd help Academy Christian to be a place where people can get connected and find connection. And so I pray that you're going to supernaturally kind of just infuse this whole process of people getting in small groups and getting connected so that we can run the race and finish it well. And we ask and pray that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.